Thanks for tuning in to the Next Level Church podcast. If you've never attended in person, we'd love to have you join us on Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:05 at 3105 Hampton Highway in Yorktown, Virginia. For more information, check out our website at nextlevelchurch.net.
Well, if I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Rob, and I am one of the pastors at Next Level, and you may not even go to Next Level, and that's totally cool. This is an environment just for married couples. That's the only qualification. And so if you're here and you're not on the pathway to be married, this is not the environment for you. Like if you're single and have no one in your life, this is not the place to hang out, okay? If you're engaged or like seriously dating, this is a great place to hang out. And we're going to be here for the next this Tuesday, and then the next two Tuesdays after this, and I hope that you'll come back for the next couple weeks. One of my goals for Marriage Rocks is to have a little bit of fun, because I really do believe that fun covers over a multitude of sins, and I wish that was a Bible verse. I wish I could put like a reference to that, because I think it is so powerful and it's so true that fun, we need a little bit of fun in our relationships. And this world is so difficult and it is so hard to live in, and relationships can be so tense and so full of drama that we just need to have a little bit of fun. So before I dive in to our talk, we're going to have a little bit of fun, and I'm going to tell you how you're going to have fun. It's going to be organized chaos. I had to literally pry these toys away from my kids. They were very upset that Daddy was taking these new items to church, and what we're going to do is I'm going to throw these items out into the crowd, and notice I am calling them items because some of you have a middle school sense of humor like I do, and if I call these what they are, I'm going to lose control over everyone. So these are items, and here's what we're going to do with these items. I'm going to throw these items into the crowd, into you guys, okay? And you can hit them, you can kick them, you can throw them back and forth. You can do whatever you want. Here's the only thing I'm going to tell you about this, okay, about what we're going to do. There will be points awarded, and there will be points deducted, okay? I'm not going to tell you how or why, but I'm just going to be yelling out, and you need to keep track of your own points, okay? You need to keep track of your own points. So once this goes out, game on, and I'm just going to be yelling out. Some people get points for things, and some people get points taken away from things, okay? Everyone completely confused? Good. That's the way I like it. All right. Here we go. Game on. That's minus 2 points for you. That's who in the orange shirt? You got, I think that's John. You got 5 points. You got 100 points for hitting it with two hands. Minus 12 points for hitting it with one hand. You're holding the ball plus 1,000 points. You hit it with one hand, 500 points to you. You just hit it backwards, minus 3 points. I'm giving myself 1,000,000 points. All right, you double hit it. You give yourself 1,200 points. You hit the ceiling, minus 700 points for you, Kim. Oh, both of you were fighting over it. That's not good in marriage. Minus 1,200 points for Rob and Joan. You have two right here, minus 1,000,000 points for you. Oh, we're taking out people. All right, three more hits. You hit someone, you get 500 points. All right, now, all done. Let's roll the balls up, the items. Let's roll the items back up here. Thank you. You can just set that right there. My kids will be devastated if I don't bring these back. Thank you very much. Okay, now, I don't know about you. Maybe you were able to still have some type of fun in that randomness that we just did. But if I wasn't up here, if I was where you were sitting, I would be incredibly frustrated because it was kind of fun to hit the ball, but for all different random reasons, you were getting points, you were losing points, and you had no idea why you were scoring or how you were scoring. This is the exact way that my kids play every game. My 4-year-old twins, whenever they say, "Daddy, do you want to play a game?" Inside I'm saying, "No," because I know midway through you're going to change the rules. And we're playing, and they're like, "Okay, Daddy, stomp this way," and I stomp this way, and they say, "No, you're not doing it right." And I'm like, 5 seconds ago that was right. Why did it change? I don't understand your games. And the rules are constantly changing, and it's frustrating. It is frustrating to play games like a toddler. And so often in the marriage world, we play married games like toddlers. So often in the marriage rule, we jump into this thing called marriage, and I don't know why you jumped into it. Maybe it's just because you saw her, and she was the most beautiful girl you had ever seen, and you just said, I've got to have her. She is beautiful. She is gorgeous. That's the one I'm going to marry. Maybe for you, you looked at him and said, man, he is so attractive. I think I can overlook his flaws because he is so handsome. Like, he's the one that I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And so attraction brought you together, and you jumped into the engagement, and then you get married. And once you get married, it's like the rules come, and they start changing fast. I remember my very first year of marriage. One of the things that attracted me to my wife was the fact that we had a common interest in cheese pizza. We both loved cheese pizza, and one of my favorite things to do in college was to drive from my college to get to her college, and we would meet up around her college at a pizza place called Pino's, and we would get a cheese pizza, and we would eat it and share it together. Year one of marriage, everything is going great. We continue the tradition of having pizza. We would have pizza Wednesdays. Every Wednesday, we would order pizza, and we would eat it. Well, about 3, 4, 5 months into the marriage, I ordered pizza like I always did on Wednesdays, and I ordered a cheese pizza. Why? That's what we get, a cheese pizza, right? There's never any question in my mind that we should order a cheese pizza. And so I ordered a cheese pizza. When I hang up the phone, my wife says to me, why do you always get cheese pizza? Why can't we get pepperoni? Who are you and what have you done with my wife? Like, we've signed like a prenup or something on this whole basis of cheese pizza, and you're changing up things. I don't like pepperoni, and I didn't know you liked pepperoni. We've never experienced this in our relationship. The rules change. It changed quickly. And when you jump into marriage, you jump into a relationship where they have a set of rules that you didn't even know were existence. They have a set of rules that you don't even know how to play by them. And you're playing by what you think are the right rules. And you think this is what a marriage should look like. And this is what is a good relationship. And all of a sudden, you're getting in trouble and you're getting fussed at. And you're like, I didn't even know. I didn't know I was breaking rules. No one sits down when they get married and is handed a rule book that says, this is how you understand your spouse. These are the rules that you need to play by if you want to have a healthy or a good marriage. The problem in marriage is we are playing by a set of rules we've never defined for our spouse. The problem in marriage is that we are playing by a set of rules that we've never defined for our spouse. And where did these rules come from? Well, it came mostly from your upbringing. Now, some of the rules that we establish in the way that we play the game, some of it's from TV or entertainment or movies, but for the most part, your upbringing instilled rules inside of you that you said to yourself, this is how you play the game. Now, depending on your relationship with your parents, you might have some healthy rules or you might have some really unhealthy rules. The way that you play the game often is said for guys. You base the rules of your marriage off the way that you viewed and had your relationship with your mom. So if you had a great relationship with your mom, you inserted all sorts of healthy rules probably into your relationship. If you had an unhealthy relationship with your mom, you might have all sorts of unhealthy rules in your relationship. Like, for example, if you're a guy and you grew up in a house where your mom was an incredible cook, well, you had this kind of rule, this picture in your mind. One of the things that drives you in the relationship is, well, one day I'm going to get married, and my wife's going to be an incredible cook. And when she burns that first meal, it's like, what is this? I've never experienced this before. Like, in my house, she didn't know it was a rule because her mom didn't cook. But in your household, the wife cooks, and she should cook good. Now, a negative example is if you're a guy and you have a relationship with your mom, and your mom, let's say your mom belittled you or yelled at you or was high tense and just fussed at you often, it may have caused you to retreat and to say, I hate conflict. And every time I'm doing something, my mom is yelling at me, I can never win her approval. So I'm going to create a rule, and the rule is I'm going to run away from conflict. I'm going to hide. So all of a sudden, you get married, and conflict happens, and it doesn't even have to be a big, bad conflict, but your first reaction is, no, I got to get out of here, because the rules that I play by is if I really tell my feelings, if I really tell what's going on inside here, I get in trouble. So I'm just going to keep it all in here and make her guess. Honey, what's wrong?
Nothing.
No, seriously, what's wrong?
Nothing. I'm just tired.
You liar. Something is wrong. And you won't tell her. Why? Because you have some rules that you've set up, and you've never thought to sit down with your spouse and say, hey, listen, the way that I play the game is that when conflict happens, I run away. These are the rules that I grew up with. If you're in here and you're a wife, a female, then you created rules based off your relationship with your dad. If your dad wasn't around, if your dad wasn't there, you may have invented rules based off what you saw on TV or your neighbors or some other family. If your dad was in the house and you had a great relationship with him, you may have created rules. You may have said things like, one day when I get married, my husband's going to fix everything in the house. Why? Because my dad fixes everything in the house. And then you marry a guy who can't fix Kool-Aid. And the rules change. And you never thought to sit down and say, hey, I have these expectations. I have these things going into the marriage relationship. You don't think to bring up these rules. Why? It's the rules you live by. You've lived by them your entire life. And it's kind of like this. If you grew up playing baseball, it is preposterous to you when you meet someone and they don't know how to play baseball, right? Like, it's not just like, oh, I feel sorry for you. Let me explain to you how to play baseball. When you know how to play baseball and you meet someone that is your same age and they say things like, I don't know how to score in baseball. Do you stay calm? No, you go level 10. What? You don't know how to play baseball? Everybody knows how to play baseball. Are you an idiot? How do you not know how to? Why do you go level 10? Because in your world, you grew up playing baseball and you know the rules to baseball. And most, for the most part, all of your friends and family and everyone that was in your circle, they played baseball. You think you're playing baseball and then you get married and your spouse shows up doing this. Check it out. Okay. Now, in your mind, when you get married, there's a set of rules to play by. We're playing baseball, and your spouse sets up to the plate, and she does that, or he does that. And instead of saying, oh, honey, I let me tell you how to play this game, we say, what is wrong with you? Everybody knows how to play baseball, and in your marriage relationship, you have some rules, some expectations that you have that are in your life. They are ingrained in you, and they are so ingrained in you, when someone doesn't meet your expectations, you get angry, right? It's not just that you kind of say, oh, like, let me help them, let me coach them. You get frustrated. I remember when we first, when we very first started our church, we didn't have a full band. We didn't have full musicians or anything, and so I wanted a full band, and so I called a friend of mine who then connected me with a friend of his, a guy I had never met. And I called this guy, and I said, hey, I'm a friend of a friend. Is there any chance you could play guitar for us on Sunday nights? And he was a part of a church on Sunday mornings and said, yep, I would be more than happy to play on Sunday nights. Great guy, amazing guy. We still like him, have a great relationship with him now. He's a missionary overseas, and a great, really great guy. This guy, though, played by a different set of rules than the rules that I had learned in church. And his very first Sunday, he did a great job playing the guitar. Everything went fine. The set went great. Worship was incredible. The part where everything broke down was during my talk. And during my talk, I'm used to it being kind of like this. It's pretty quiet. People are engaged. If you're, like, zoning out, you at least are pretending to listen to me, right? Like, this is what I'm used to. I'm used to a pretty quiet room. And in the circles I'm in, this is how you do church. There's not a lot of distractions. There's not a lot of things going on. Like, you listen. This is what I'm used to. He wasn't used to that. And so I'm sitting there, and in the middle of my talk, he was sitting over on this side, about the middle of this side, but it was in a different property, but just imagine it's this one. He's sitting about the middle side. He stands up, goes across about four or five people, walks down the aisle, comes across the front of the stage, and out a door to the side of the stage. Now, first, when he's walking towards me, I'm like, is he going to assassinate me? Like, why are you walking to the stage? And then when he gets up here, I'm thinking, like, is God moving? Is he going to, like, bow down and, like, ask me to pray for him? What is happening? The whole while I'm thinking this, words are coming out of my mouth of the sermon. I have no idea what I'm preaching. I have no idea what I'm talking about. I'm focused on this guy. He gets to the door. He walks out. It lets a ton of light into the room, and he leaves. And I'm thinking, I hope he comes back, because we're going to do a last song, and, like, I don't know where he went. About 10 minutes later, he opens the exact same door, lets a whole bunch of light in, walks down the front of the, in front of the stage, down this aisle, crosses over about four or five people, and sits down. Has a smile on his face, acts like this is totally normal. I'm wanting to punch him. Like, I am so angry. Literally, I am angry. I am ticked off, mad at him. And after the service, I had to take a deep breath and say, okay, listen, it is not going to be right or fair if I scream at someone, or like, that doesn't do anything for my testimony. It doesn't. This is a guy who's helping us out. I need to just calm down. And so I just went to him and just calmly said, hey, I don't know like exactly what you're used to, but I don't know if you noticed, but like, no one uses that door during the sermon. Like, if you have to go out somewhere, there's a door in the back that you can go back. And this is literally what he says to me. I had no idea. I had no idea I was a distraction. He was playing a different game than what I was playing. He was falling over the bat while I was trying to play baseball. And it happens in your marriage all the time, that you have a set of rules, and to you, it is just simple. This is just what you do. When you walk in the house and there's dishes in the sink, you just clean them. You don't watch TV first, you clean the dishes. That's just what we do in our family. And when your spouse walks past the dishes to go watch TV, do you say, hey, you know what? Here's a gift card. Go enjoy a meal. No, you say, I am mad at you. I am frustrated. How do you not see these dishes? Like, this is ridiculous. And you get frustrated. Why? Because you're playing by a set of rules that you have never thought to sit down and to explain to your significant other. There's a set of rules that all of us play by. Marriage is incredibly, incredibly difficult. And I want to make sure that you guys hear this. If you're here today and you have a perfect marriage, I'm going to invite you to teach next week, because you can teach us all how to have a better marriage. I want you to know that this is a safe place. None of us in here have this whole marriage thing figured out, and none of us in here have an easy marriage. Marriage is difficult, but marriage is difficult for one of two reasons. Marriage is difficult either, number one, you haven't set clear expectations. The reason marriage is difficult is because you have never set clear expectations. You've never thought, because no one handed you a rule book, no one explained to you how marriage works, you have never sat down and said, listen, I just expect certain things about the way the house is run. I just expect certain things about the way you take care of pets. I expect certain things about the way you clean the car. I just have these expectations in my life. They come from my family. They come from my upbringing. We didn't have nice stuff. So now as an adult, I really want to take care of my stuff. And when you trash something that we've worked hard for, it infuriates me. It makes me so mad. It makes me so angry. Why? Because I'm playing by a set of rules. And I'm sorry that I never sat down with you and explained with you the rules that I'm playing with. How unfair is it in the game to get mad at someone and never explain to them the rules? It's not fair. And yet we have never taken the time to explain the rules to our spouse. Now, I want to give one disclaimer about your expectations or your rules. These need to be realistic expectations, okay? No spouse can meet unrealistic expectations. Like, it would be unrealistic for my wife to expect me to be anything like her dad when it comes to construction or building things. I can't do it. Even if I tried, even if I prayed, even if God himself helped me, I could not do what her dad does. That's an unrealistic expectation. And some of us have unrealistic expectations. We have unrealistic expectations about what our spouse should look like. We have unrealistic expectations about what our spouse should do. And some of those we need to just get out of the way and just say, okay, that is unrealistic. I'm putting something on someone that no one could meet. No one could hit that expectation. So get rid of all the unrealistic expectations. I'm talking about realistic things. Realistic things, the things that frustrate you in life, the things that frustrate you in your marriage. You are frustrated every single time you get frustrated with your spouse. It's because they have not met your expectation. The problem is you've never told them how to play the game. And you've never communicated with them that, listen, when this happens, this is why I get so angry. Because in my household, this is just what we did. And if I need to change some of my expectations, if you can't meet them, if they're unrealistic, that's fine. But we need to sit down and have a heart-to-heart conversation, because there keeps being tension in our relationship because I have expectations. I'm playing baseball. You're spinning on the bat. Like, we're playing two separate games here. The second reason, though, that marriage is difficult is this, because you aren't willing to meet expectations. You aren't willing to meet expectations. Now, if that is you, then let me encourage you in love and say that you need more than what Marriage Rocks can give you. If you're number two and you just say, listen, I just don't want to meet my spouse's expectations, I don't care about their expectations, then you need a little bit more help than what I'm going to be able to give you in these next couple weeks. And that's fine. Admit it, embrace it, that's great. We'll help you find a good Christian counselor that you can sit down and say, some of our problems is because we're not willing to play by the same rules. I don't even want to play by the same rules, okay? So if that's you, this is a safe place, that's fine. We'll help you out. What I'm going to do in the rest of this talk is I'm going to assume that most of us, the tension that we have and the problems that we have is because we fall into number one, camp number one, which is simply you haven't set clear expectations. That you've never sat down with your spouse. Your spouse would be willing to play baseball if you just told them how to play baseball. Okay? That's what we're talking about. Now, if you're here and you're not convinced that really the problem in your relationship is expectations, I want to show you just how powerful expectations are. I want to show you this in a verse that has absolutely nothing to do with marriage, but has everything to do with expectations. We're going to dive into John 7, starting at verse 40. We're going to go through 44. It says this, on hearing his words, some of the people said, surely this man is the prophet. Others said, he is the Messiah. So let me explain to you what's going on. It is around the last week of Jesus' life. He goes to a festival because his brothers encourage him to go to this festival. And he shows up to the festival and he starts talking. And while he's talking, some people who had seen him do miracles in the past and some people who had experienced him outside of this festival started saying, this guy is legit. This guy is from God. And some of them said that Jesus was a prophet. Now, in the Jewish world, that's a high honor. Like, that's higher than even our pastor. That is, you have a special relationship with God if you're a prophet. You're hearing from God, and when you speak, it is the words of God. So some people were so impressed with Jesus that they were saying he's a prophet. Other people said, no, 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 he's not a prophet. He is the Messiah. So there's lots of prophets around. There's only one Messiah, and it's a Messiah they've been waiting for hundreds of years for, the one guy sent by God. So Jesus was so impressive that some people said he was a prophet. Some people said he was the Messiah, but let's keep reading. It says, still others asked, how can the Messiah come from Galilee? Does not Scripture say that the Messiah will come from David's descendants and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? Thus the people were divided because of Jesus. Some wanted to seize him, but no one laid a hand on him. It wasn't his time yet to die. He had to wait about a week. But what I want to point out to you is that there were some people in the exact same crowd who had experienced the exact same Jesus. And some of them said he's the Messiah. And some of them said they wanted to kill him. What was the difference? Their expectations. It wasn't Jesus, it was their expectations. And there was a group of people who said, yes, this guy's doing miracles, and yes, this guy teaches unlike anyone we've ever heard, but the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem, and this joker comes from Galilee. There's no way, even though he matches everything else that we've been waiting for in a Messiah, he's not born in the right place, so let's kill him. Now, if they would have just taken a quick time out and said, listen, I've got some emotions going on here, Jesus. I've got some strong feelings. Like, I want to hurt you. But before I do that, can we just have a conversation? Because I think you might be the Messiah. The problem is, though, I know, based off our prophecies, that the Messiah is supposed to come from Bethlehem. And I know that you live in Galilee. So what do you have to say about that? And if they would have just asked that question, then Jesus would have said, let me tell you a story, guys. None of you are going to celebrate this because you're all Jewish, but in a few years, everyone's going to celebrate this holiday called Christmas. And they're going to celebrate it because of my birth. And let me tell you how it went down. Because of a census, my parents went to a little town called Bethlehem. And there was no room for me in the inn. So I was born in a nasty manger in hay, and there were animals around. But guess what, guys? I was born in Bethlehem. And so the Messiah that you are convinced I'm not, I'm him. I was born in Bethlehem. Not only that, look at my family's lineage. I come from the family of David. So everything, all these miracles, all the teachings, everything that you think fits the Messiah, not only that, I'm also from Bethlehem. So now that we're on the same page, let's go from there. But instead, their expectations were not met, so they wanted to kill the Messiah. When you have unmet expectations, you can turn the Messiah into a normal man. I just want you to get how powerful your expectations are. That when you have unmet expectations, when you play the game of life a certain way and someone else doesn't meet your expectations, you can turn the Messiah, who fits all the qualifications for being the Messiah, into a normal man. So how does that relate to our marriage? Well, The translation is when you have unmet expectations, you can turn an awesome spouse into your enemy. When you have unmet expectations, you can turn an awesome spouse, an incredible spouse, into your enemy. And when you have unmet expectations, instead of focusing on all the great things that your spouse brings to the relationship, you focus on the few things that they don't bring. Why? Because you're playing baseball and they're spinning around on a bat. And it infuriates you and it makes you so mad. And you don't even know how to talk about it because in your world, that's just what we do. We play baseball. What you need to do, though, is have a date night that you can sit down without the kids and say, there's some constant struggles. Our finances, what's going on with our finances is constantly bringing some tension in our relationship. And I just want to tell you my expectations. We've never talked about this before. It just makes me so angry when you buy shoes without checking with me, without checking our budget, like just something happens inside of me. And that's simply because we didn't have a lot of money growing up. And so when I see money going out, I freak out. And I know that's a lot on me, and I know that I have some issues to do, but I just wanted to communicate with you this tension that I feel. And so it would really help me if before you spend something, if we could just talk about it. In fact, why don't we have a date night once a month and set up a budget? Because if we could set up a budget, it would help me out. My tension would leave. I would stop being so angry. We would start playing the game the exact same way if we simply sat down and had a budget. You guys get what this is? You get what this is saying? Yeah. Two of you nodded your head. Yeah. Thank you. Awesome. A few years ago, I saw a brilliant video that highlights just how different men and women are when they play this game. And it is so different because you think you're playing one game and your spouse is playing a totally different game. And I thought this video was brilliant. I don't know if you've seen it or not before, but I wanted to show it to you because I think it is exactly what we've been talking about. Check this out.
It's just, there's all this pressure, you know? And sometimes it feels like it's right up on me and I can just feel it, like literally feel it in my head, and it's relentless. And I don't know if it's gonna stop. I mean, that's the thing that scares me the most, is that I don't know if it's ever gonna stop.
Yeah. Well, you do have a nail in your head.
It is not about the nail.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, I'll bet if we got that out of there...
Stop trying to fix it.
No, I'm not trying to fix it. I'm just pointing out that maybe the nail is causing...
You always do this. You always try to fix things when what I really need is for you to just listen. No,
see, I don't think that is what you need. I think what you need is to get the nail
out. See, you're not even listening now.
Okay, fine. I will listen. Fine.
It's just... Sometimes it's like there's this achy... I don't know what it is. And I'm not sleeping very well at all. And all my sweaters are snagged. I mean, all of them.
Yeah, that sounds really hard.
It is. Thank you. Ow!
Oh, come on, ow. If you would just...
Don't! Try to see things my way.
Maybe you're laughing just because it's a brilliant video, or maybe you're laughing because you can relate. Isn't that how relationships are? That you just want to talk about the nail, and she's just like, what nail? It's not about the nail, right? Why? Why are conversations with your spouse, why can they be so frustrating? It's because you're playing by a set of rules that you never thought to sit down and explain to your spouse. And if you could just explain these rules, if you could just explain, this is how I'm wired, this is how I tick, this is what's going on inside of here, these are our expectations going forward. And if we both would be willing to work on these, we would have a lot happier of a marriage. I want to show you a verse that I think is a key verse for all of our sessions. It comes from Ephesians chapter 5. It's written by Paul, and it is a command for married couples, for marriages. He's quoting a verse that is said often in the Bible. He says this, "For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband." So I want to explain to you what's going on here, that when you get married, one of the things that you don't even see that is happening is that in the eyes of God, God math takes over your life. and you go into a marriage thinking that you're one person and all you do is worry about yourself and your feelings and your emotions and you just worry about your rules. But when you get married, God math takes over and he no longer views you as a separate person, but he puts 1 + 1 and he doesn't see 2, he sees 1. God math makes absolutely no sense. But what Paul is saying is that in your marriage relationship, you are one. Now, this is incredibly important because often when we get frustrated at our spouse, what do we think instantly? How do I win this fight? How do I win this argument? They're not playing by my rules, so let me cut them down. Let me figure out a way to fight unfair. Let me figure out a way to change the rules. Let me figure out a way to hurt them because they're not meeting my needs. They're not meeting my expectations. But what Paul is saying is in marriage, you are one. And when you are one, what you do to your spouse impacts you. When you're one, what you do to your spouse impacts you. So if you're not willing to explain the rules of the game to your spouse, it impacts you. And if you're playing by a set of rules that they're not playing by and they don't know about it, guess what? You're one. So it doesn't just impact them. It doesn't just make their life awful or miserable. It makes your life awful and miserable. That as one, you've got to start thinking as one person. The best illustration I've ever heard of this is it is as if when you get married, you get entered into a three-legged race. Three-legged races are awful, and that's what marriage is like, right? Like, you are attached to someone, and why is a three-legged race awful? Because I could run faster if I wasn't attached to someone else. But when you're married, two become one. And now all of a sudden, in order for us to win the race, we've got to learn how to run as one. And that means we've got to talk about the rules of this game. We've got to talk about our expectations. I run really fast. Well, I run really slow. Okay, let's find a compromise and run this thing together. Because if not, you're going to be running one way, she's going to be running the other way, and you're constantly going to be frustrated and looking at the other person and say, why don't you just get this? Why don't you know how to play? It is so simple. Everyone in my family sees it. Everyone in my circle sees what a big idiot you are. Why don't you know how to play? Well, they didn't grow up playing baseball, and it's not as easy for them as it is for you. Thank you. You can either fight for your marriage or you can fight in your marriage. And you have to decide what you want to do. You can either fight for your marriage or you can fight in your marriage. And you've got to decide. You're the only one. And because you're one with your spouse, if you decide to fight in your marriage, there's going to be constant conflict. But if you take that same energy and that same passion towards fighting for your marriage really will rock. But it's going to take some attention. It's going to take some passion. It's going to take you sitting and having a few date nights and saying, these are the rules that I play by. When we fight, this is why I shut down. I am so afraid of conflict. I am so afraid of what you'll say about me and that you'll reject me. I just want to shut down because I love you so much. The worst thing ever would be for me to lose your approval. So I'm sorry that I shut down, and I'm going to work hard at trying to talk out my feelings. But we need to have a conversation about what the rules are here, because you keep getting mad at me because I'm shutting down, and I keep getting mad at you because you're a fighter, and we just need to get on the same playing field. You need to start fighting for your marriage and not in your marriage. So I want to, Zach, if you can skip down, I want to give you guys some application. These are some specific things you can do. These are three things. They're the three points of application for you. If you can skip down, skip all the way down to the end, Zach, where it says application. Application for your wives. If you're a wife, come up with specific ways to respect your husband. The verse gave a specific thing that you should do, that men are wired to do. The game, God bless you. The game that men are playing is a game of respect. Men desire to be respected in all areas of their relationship. So when they come to the table, the thing they are craving the most from you is your respect. So as a wife, come up with specific ways to respect your husband. What are some specific ways? And ask him, what are the rules you play by? Because different guys play by different rules. And one guy might feel respected one way, another guy might feel disrespected with the exact same way. So just ask him, hey, what are the rules you play? What do I do that helps make you feel more like a man? What do I do that helps make you feel respected? Find out how to respect your husband. Husbands, come up with specific ways to love your wife. The word that Paul said that when we're one, the way that we run this race well is for husbands to love your wife. So husbands, you've got to find out, what are the rules that she's playing by? What are the things that cause her to feel loved? And in your mind, it's not a big deal that you walked by the sink and you forgot to wash the dishes. But in her mind, she says, oh, he must not even care about me if he didn't see these dishes. And you've got to figure out what in her world, what are the rules she's playing by? How does she feel loved? You've got to figure that out. And so husbands, come up with specific ways to love your wife. Ask her specifically. Go on a date. Ask her tonight, what are the specific ways that I can love you? And for both of you, this is homework for both of you. Come up with your marriage expectations. Come up with your marriage expectations. What are your expectations in a fight? What are your expectations with your money? What are your expectations when you raise a kid? What are the expectations you're playing through? You may have never talked about that before, so sit down and just start talking about, what are our marriage expectations? Where are we going? What are our thoughts? I want to get you on the same playing field. If you would do these three things, it's not going to make your marriage perfect, but it's going to help you run the race so much better when you're playing by the exact same rules. Would you guys pray with me? God, we just are so thankful that you love us and that you do have a plan for us and that your plan involves marriage. It's an incredible gift. And so we just ask, God, that you would strengthen our marriages in here, that you would take these few nights together and that you would do immeasurably more than we could ask or imagine. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed and learned from today's podcast. If you'd like to connect with us further, you can check out our website, nextlevelchurch.net, or find us on Facebook or Twitter.